Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And welcome to another episode of Chefology.
Hey.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Asabi Goodman, and I am joined by Josh DeVetta. And sitting in for Liam Madden, we've got our wonderful producer, Zane Weber.
Hello, and I'm much more comfortable with this topic than I was the last one.
I think I am, too. So what are we talking about today, guys?
Well, what aren't we talking about?
But well, okay, but
such a generic answer. But just, I am very, very excited for this topic. It is a special. I think I have a degree in this topic, actually.
Not
just a bachelor. I've got my postgrad. I've done my
doctorate.
Thesis. Yeah, exactly. Everything like that. And we are doing girl bands.
Yay!
Cheer. That is exciting.
Yes, love it. Love it. So we are talking about bands that are all female today.
All female.
Which I love.
I love as well.
And I think we've silently but not silently said to each other that a girl band must at least be a trio for this playlist.
Yes.
Duos have their thing, and solo artists are definitely not a part of this podcast today, even if they went solo.
I will say, I came across a couple of options that were iffy because they were led by a woman.
Yes.
With backup, who are all women, but they were billed as a solo with backup.
Yes.
But they were really a package. So I haven't included any of them.
Right. So sort of like Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just about to say.
But see, at least the Supremes have a name and they are there.
That's true.
Yes. And they were the Supremes before they were Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Yeah. So yeah. But that's all of mine are the bands themselves.
That's right. Lovely. Yeah, and I think mine are the same as well. And there are some bands that are just singers, and so I don't talk about the actual band members that are behind them. But it's because that's what people see. They see the singers, the front people.
Absolutely, and I think that's part of the marketing too, because it's easier to market one person a lot of the time, or then have like a whole group sort of situation. Also, I think it's harder. I think there's something about three that really, really works. Mm. Three and five. I find four really, really awkward sometimes.
Mm. I've got a group of eight.
Do you? Oh my goodness. Is it the Octo Mom?
No, and it was the first time I saw them, it was awkward for those of us. We were like, that's a lot of women.
It is
there.
A lot. Well, think about even like those co-groups like S Club 7. That's a lot of people to try and love at the same time.
Yeah. Well, and even the Spice Girls with all five of them, you know, so.
Well, but five is good because I think five also, there's something for everyone in a group of five.
Like,
and obviously, well, I think it definitely can be said that girl groups are definitely great marketing tools, especially for merchandising, trying to push
posters.
A product, posters, all that kind of stuff. And when you think about groups like the Spice Girls, like they are the epitome of what like
there was something for everyone in the Spice
exactly.
Girls. Yeah.
Lovely.
Great. Well, let's get on to this.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Available now from Manola Theatre. Begotten, a 5-part audio drama.
There's a moment when a gift becomes a curse.
I don't recognize my body.
I was born with something broken inside me.
I threw all the knives away yesterday.
It played out in my head like a film, like something that had already happened.
That was the day he began to follow me home.
It was a betrayal, I knew that. But I did it anyway.
I've lost track of how many nights I've spent down here.
I'm on my way to tell him.
But surely you know by now what actually happened.
Alice.
Eileen.
Clea.
Hazel.
Leisha.
Audiences are calling Begotten emotional, raw, powerful, spellbinding, and heart-touching. Stage Whispers praises the visual images that sing. and says, "We are left dancing with the ghosts of the five women, their hopes and dreams, the compromises they have made and lived with." Begotten is released fortnightly via your favourite podcasting platform or can be accessed in full at manolatheatre.com.au.
And we're back.
We sure are. whatever ad we've, you know, we love everybody.
Yes, that's right. We love who we just promoted. Yeah.
I think my favorite is when I'll be listening back on the episode and, you know, we go to break and we hear that, "Hello, yes. Do you want to talk about words?" And I'm like, I think I do.
Look, honestly, I think I put that one in there once, but it keeps coming up.
It's become an icon of the show, to be quite honest. Madam Words or whoever's speaking. But you know what? Today we are talking about a very, very cool topic, which is girl bands. I personally am passionate about girl bands. I grew up, you know, with listening to all these different girl bands, and that's what we're going to be talking about today with our amazing playlist. I have a feeling it's going to be one of our most streamed playlists to date. So that's my prediction with it all. And so we're going to throw it over to our first guest, our first host, I should say, or guest host. Guest host with the lovely Zane Weber. And Zane, I am so interested in what you have to say.
Okay, well, yes. Those people who know me know that my music taste does kind of start at the 1970s and go backwards.
Yes.
I'm not really into a lot of new music. I appreciate new music, and yep. I have gone through that, like growing up having music influence you or whatever, but I don't really relate to music in the same way that a lot of people do. But my first kind of music experience was a cassette of 1960s rock and roll that I got from my father's car, and that's what I started listening to on repeat, and then I worked my way back. So what I'm going to do, I've probably got the oldest songs on the list.
The classics, darling, yes. The classics.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to do it chronologically from oldest to newest.
Right, okay.
The Andrews Sisters.
Yay!
Yes! Love it.
1941, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
Love.
Say that fast,
love.
Really. Well, actually, it's basically a patter song, isn't it?
Yes. So this is Andrews Sisters, of course. It's appeared in lots of different movies, and of course was re-recorded by the fabulous Bette Midler, whose version is probably the one that you know.
Most probably, yeah.
Well, I know the original, but that's because I was around when Bette Midler did her cover.
I do think I heard Bette Midler's first. I do really enjoy the Andrews Sisters version. I will say also all the songs that I've picked have been covered and recovered and recovered and recovered.
Yes.
I will be crediting the first release.
Sure.
But I will also mention if there's interesting covers that have gone on. Yeah, so Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy is interesting because it was actually based on another song.
Right.
Written by Ray Prince called Beat Me Daddy 8 to the Bar.
Yes.
I think I've seen that movie online before.
Oh, just see. Explicit.
So that's basically about a Boogie Woogie piano player. And this one is of course, a bugle boy who goes to the army. So this is, again, one of my favorite styles of song where it's telling a story.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they use that phrase, 8 to the bar, in the song as
yes,
well.
Yes, they absolutely do.
Do we know what Company B is?
It's the army, regiment.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. Yeah. Sorry. And also, my vivid memory of the Andrews Sisters when I was, you know, just learning about music in general, I remember seeing this fabulous clip because they would perform for the troops a lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they really are one of the first girl groups when you think about it, because like they had the choreography and it was all cute and stuff. And, you know, and they even wore the uniforms themselves, which is very camp, I have to say. Like, you know, they invented drag. No,
ooh, girl. See?
Yeah. So in its first release, it got to number 6 on the charts in 41.
I forgot there were even charts in that.
There have always been charts.
Bette Midler's 1972 recording got to top 10.
Wow.
On the Billboard Top 100. And the songs ranked number 6 in Songs of the Century.
Wow. So, it is an iconic song. Well,
last century.
Yes.
Yeah.
Last century.
This century hasn't finished. Yeah. It's barely started.
Also, it was nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, for what film?
It didn't actually tell me.
Oh, okay.
But it lost out to The Last Time I Saw Paris, which is a Cole Porter song.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, Cole Porter was kind of like dominating at the time. Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah.
And now and he doesn't drag. Stop.
No, that is very true. That is very true.
Okay. So that's my first
Love
song.
It. Boogie Woogie
Bugle Boy from Company B. Dump the sugar card, a cuda coda candy man. Oh, is there
something
parallel there? What's going on?
I see what you did there.
It's even the costumes in the music video for that song.
For Candyman. Oh, with the three Christina Aguilera's. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's one of my favorite things because I remember thinking, going, oh, she's not dirty anymore. Then I actually listened to the lyrics and went, oh, no.
Girl
she's a dirty, dirty girl.
Mm-hmm.
sort
Candy
of thing.
Dropping.
But that was all the whole concept of that album of throwing back to
back
old
to
music.
Basics,
back
yeah.
to basics, which what the album was called, but mixing it with hip hop, which
was
amazing.
Yes. Oh, that was a great album. Anyway, we digress.
So, Zane, you started off really, really strong, so I don't know where we're going to go from here. But could you please enlighten us with your second choice?
Well, we are going to skip ahead 13 years to 1954 with Mr. Sandman.
Yes.
Oh, great.
I love
so
this
is, of course, the Cordettes.
Yes.
Were the first recorders. This has gone on to be recorded by both boy bands and girl bands.
Yes.
The lyrics changed accordingly to keep it heteronormative.
I would love to hear a boy band sing Mr. Sandman, but not if they've changed the lyrics.
So it was written by Pat Ballard. And recorded originally by Vaughan Monroe and his orchestra, but then of course the Cordettes released it as the song that we get to know now.
Yes.
I will say that original song reached number one on all three of the Billboard Popular Music charts.
Wow.
At the same time. So it was best sellers in stores, most played by disc jockeys, and most played in jukeboxes.
Far out.
Number one, all at the same time.
That's
and
amazing.
You thought that people were taking a nap, but it's not. It's like people are listening to this song.
It's a good song.
It is. And, it is and it's not as easy song. As what people think. Like those parts are intense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They are intense.
Yes.
So, beautiful. Like a lot of these older songs, it has been recovered and recovered. The next most popular version is probably the Emmylou Harris version, which is 1981. The interesting story behind that is it was actually recorded by Emmylou Harris in 78 with Dolly Parton and Linda Ronstadt.
What?
They recorded it as a trio album that they were going to release, but it was scrapped.
Aww.
They did reunite and release two trio albums later on, but they didn't include this.
Right.
Oh, that would have been beautiful.
But Emmylou Harris then went on in 1981 to record all three parts and release the song herself.
She's
we love technology.
Yeah.
We can do that in 1981.
Thank you.
Come on, 8-track.
That's right. Multi-track that.
Yeah, so even in 1981, it reached number 10 on the Hot Country Singles chart, but number 37 on the Hot 100.
On the Billboard.
It's not
right.
a country song. Oh, but Emmylou Harris is
Emmylou
like
Harris is country singer.
So I'm sure the arrangement.
I would
was
love to hear that version, actually.
Right. Well, that single is the only Harris song to reach top 40 on the Hot 100.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Cool. Also, I think when I think like if you like flip it to even more modern like acts now, the Papuni Sisters. Have you heard of them? So they're the three. They're the group that feature on Michael Bublé's Jingle Bells. Oh, you ready to sing a little Jingle Bells? Yes, that's them. And they do an amazing cover of Crazy in Love in that same vein of like 90.
Cool.
Yeah. But they're like a modern sort of like
doobop-y
sort of. Yeah, it's really really cool.
Who are they? Not Punani. I knew I was going to say
Papini.
That. Papini. Oh God, I got that wrong. Okay.
Well, that's two choices.
That's two. Okay, so we're jumping way ahead
all right.
to 1984.
We love 1984.
I'm so excited by the Pointer Sisters.
Ah, woo! Yes! Love,
sorry,
love,
there was a delay because I was
song.
Actually trying to go, which button do I press?
Rim shot.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
The Pointer Sisters are not a joke.
No, they're not.
Definitely
no, they're not.
I had a lot of... A lot of trouble picking a Pointer Sisters song
There's
to go
so
on this
many.
List.
There's quite a few. Mm.
I think I'm so excited I picked it just because it is, I feel like, the most recognizable song where mm-hmm. people, if you play it, people will go,
yes.
yes, I love this song, but might not necessarily know that it is
yeah.
the Pointer Sisters.
Yes.
And the Pointer Sisters are actually sisters. They started out mm-hmm. as sisters. And they continue to this day, the cast rotates, so they're
right.
still all pointers.
Mm-hmm.
Daughters,
just not necessarily sisters.
Just not necessarily yeah. sisters anymore.
So they're still
sisters.
Performing.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
really close. Mm. Sorry, that was a Rent reference. Mm.
Mm. We're close.
I love their Neutron dance.
Yes.
That's one of my favorites
yeah.
as well.
I also love, I'm going to add an honorable mention just for Zane's
yeah.
list.
Yes.
We're talking about
yeah.
Pointer Sisters. Jump is such a good
yes.
song.
Yes.
Jump for
yeah.
my love.
Slow oh, Hand.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. So
darling,
good.
Darling, it's only Sunday at 11:07,
right.
and I'm already feeling the spirit come
yeah.
alive. Talk about the Pointer Sisters, and they feature on We Are the World, Michael
yep.
Jackson's
yes.
collaboration.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so
they were huge
yeah,
in
so
the 80s.
It was originally Anita, Ruth, and June.
Yes,
Pointer. They actually wrote and composed this in collaboration with Trevor Lawrence. So
oh,
this,
wow.
Yeah, they actually wrote this as well. All the previous ones that I've spoken about, written
mm-hmm.
by someone else for a girl group, this
yeah.
the girl group actually wrote this one.
Which is actually quite rare.
yeah.
When you think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
So he got to only to number 30 on the US Billboard Hot 100.
That is tragic.
Mm. Yeah, but it was remixed and re-released in 84 and it reached number 9.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
And Billboard named this song number 23 on the 100 Greatest Girl Group Song of All Time.
Oh, I agree
yes.
with that.
I
yes.
put it as number 3.
Yes!
Hey, hey.
And you know what? Zane's list has so much more validity than was it Rolling Stone or Billboard, wherever
it
is.
Billboard.
Or Billboard. Whatever.
We need to write Billboard a letter.
Yes. I think I've composed many in the past.
It's like, we are sorry, but you are wrong, yeah. Billboard. Who do you think you are?
And so, following that train of girl group written and performed songs.
Love this.
Next one, 1996, debut single, British girl group, Wanna Be by the Spice Girls.
Hey!
Yes.
I'm gonna get some of this as well. We're gonna go. Amazing.
Yeah, so this is, I couldn't not put a Spice Girls song on this list. It had to be on there.
Yeah.
Wannabe, I think, is a huge, just a huge song for a debut single. And it's written and composed by the group in collaboration with
Matt Rowe, yes.
Richard Stannard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly, like, that's how it's credited.
Yep.
I'm not sure, because the girls were still kind of getting to know each other.
Yes, they were, yeah.
They had written a couple of songs before this together. But one was too explicit for the target audience, so they
right.
didn't release it first. And then they came out with Wannabe.
Yeah.
So this was the first thing that
so
they
did
released.
They write songs pre-Jerry? Because Jerry was the last person to get put into... Because they had another girl first and they replaced it with Jerry.
No, I think... So this was with Jerry.
With
I
Jerry,
think
okay.
Their first professional songwriting session... This song
this
came out of.
That's amazing. That's
yeah.
that's
wow.
really good instinct.
Yeah.
I have to,
yeah.
and I'm pretty sure the two guys that they wrote it with, because I'm pretty sure they also produced the record with them as well. Did they?
Rowan Stannard.
Yeah.
So, they, I believe they produced it, but then they weren't happy with that.
So they gave it to someone else.
They
to
gave
produce.
It to someone
okay,
else
yeah.
to redo. So Wannabe topped UK singles chart for 7 weeks.
Amazing.
Received double platinum. The song was released in the United States in 97.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Topped Hot 100 for 4 weeks.
Did it get to number one?
Number one
yep.
for 4 weeks. The group's only number one single in that country, in the US.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing as well, because we look at metrics differently now than we did back then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's actually amazing to crack America on that, because it would have been physical sales and actual
yep.
radio
yes.
play as well.
Yes, yes. And I remember I was in a Kim Lab class, and a friend of mine, you know, we were talking, and he was like, "What are you guys doing tonight?" We're like, "Oh, nothing. What are you doing?" "I'm gonna go see the Spice Girls." And we're like, "The who?" And this was back in 97.
That's
and
amazing.
Like,
yeah. Sabi has the best story.
And they
this.
Were so brand, like, they were new. They were
yeah.
very new.
Yes.
I don't know how they were playing over here already, but they
yeah.
over here, over there already, but they were. And we had a friend, and he, you know, he was like, five hot girls. Yeah, I'm gonna go see them.
I mean, yeah, I mean, their climb was meteoric. Like,
mm.
they hit, and they hit hard.
They did.
By March 1997, they were topping out the charts in 37 different countries around the world.
Incredible numbers.
Yeah. Wow.
And also, I think that there hadn't been a huge phenom like that out of the UK for quite a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, people compare it to Beatlemania, huge the Spice fever was, you know. And in the UK, it was big for females too, because boy bands were dominating in the UK with Take That and all that kind of and what's the other really really big UK group?
Was it 98 Degrees?
That's America. But also Britpop was really big with Blur and Oasis that.
Yeah.
So when it was these five girls, like these northern girls, they did it. And so I think I remember them saying it was a shock for them too. They were just like, so we were just collecting Dole payments like 3 weeks ago.
Yep. Yep.
And now we're the biggest superstars on the planet. Like, you don't see that type of meteoric rise anymore.
They were fun and campy and girl power. Mm. They really pushed that, and that was apparently what we all needed.
Yeah. Yep. So. And the interesting fact I found out about this song is in a 2014 study, it was chosen as the most easily recognizable pop song of the last 60 years.
Mm. Yeah, I bloody believe it.
When this comes on, you know what you're getting.
All you have to hear is yo, and that's it. Yep. And everybody knows absolutely. That song.
And starts singing along.
And it's not an overproduced song either. When you think, it's actually really simple production with the whole instrumentation just boom. Boom, 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 boom. And that's it? These days you would hear so many layers.
I'm pretty sure I have that on my Casio keyboard.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Zane, we'll talk about the Spice Girls, but we have to keep on moving, otherwise it's going to be a 3-hour podcast.
Okay, last one, most recent. Most recent / not most recent is Lady Marmalade, originally by LaBelle.
Yes.
But I also need to, where I found it was... Moulin Rouge. Yeah.
The number one topic of our podcast, which is Moulin Rouge.
And that was Christina Aguilera, Lil Kim, Maya, and Pink in 2001.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so
such
it
a
is.
Good cover.
And we have not had a group collaboration of that level.
Nope.
Since then, and it's been nearly 20 years.
Haven't had a super group.
Yeah, exactly. And they weren't even really a girl group. They were just asked to be a part of it because they were kind of like the biggest stars at the time.
Yep.
Which is so funny because you look back and go, where's Maya these days? I'd love to know where
Five
Maya
kids,
I loved know. Case of the X, by the way, back then. Really, really cool. And do you have any fun facts for us about Lady Marmalade, Zane?
So when it was recorded in 1974 by LaBelle, LaBelle held the number one spot on Billboard Hot 100 chart for 1 week.
Yes. And we've talked about that before, actually, where because of the particular social climate and cultural climate, just to get 1 week as a black group at number one is like a huge thing,
even if
it was for only 1 week.
I will also throw in a quick mention for the girl group All Saints.
Yeah.
In 98.
Oh, okay.
Who also released a cover. released a cover that peaked at number one in the UK.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know All Saints.
Yes, it's
wasn't
look,
that a
it's
TV
it's,
show here.
It was
absolutely. Okay. No, All Saints. We'll talk about All Saints later. I'll just
off air.
That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say.
And the last fun fact is that Lady Marmalade was the 9th song to reach number one by 2 different musical acts in the US.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Wait, what? You said it was the 9th song?
The 9th song to reach number one by 2 different musical acts. So the cover and the original two covers.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's my list.
That's awesome.
I think the players can stop there because we've already gotten to 100. I don't know how we can push part to the next.
I will say I've stopped at 2001 if you give me 2001. If you don't, then I've stopped at 96.
Yes.
So there's 20 plus years still of girl groups that you
well I think the history of well we just got the history of girl groups there's the history of Wrong Guys. That's a Kiki Boots reference.
Oh, okay.
And there's a history of girl bands, and Zane has definitely given us a great
blueprint
to work on. So thank you so much, Zane. They're amazing choices.
You're very welcome. This was very fun listening.
Yeah, it was fun listening to it too. I love when people's vocal tone changes when they get excited about a topic. It's very, very enthralling
pitches,
to hear.
Yep.
Well, we're going to have a short little break, and when we come back, we're going to listen to Asabi's Choices.
Let's talk about X, baby.
Crappy relationships, the bane of our collective existence.
But what do we learn from our mistakes?
I'm relationship columnist Liz Best.
And I'm funny guy Tom Harris.
Ghosts of Boyfriends Past will chat to guests about love gone wrong and take you on a journey through the funny, tragic, horrifying...
And sometimes just plain bonkers stories about that crazy little thing called love. It's like a group therapy session.
With two people completely unqualified to be leading it. New episodes drop fortnightly on Thursday, so join in to hear tales of heartbreak and woe and hopefully wind up a little wiser or drunker for it.
That's Not Gunnan Productions podcast.
All right, we are back with more girl groups.
Woohoo!
Yes, get it, girl.
And I, as a masculine presence on this podcast,
are you?
Absolutely.
I like to think there's a fair amount of estrogen sitting around the table.
There's not a small amount of estrogen around the table.
But we're not saying there's a lot of testosterone.
That's either, right. So. I don't know, guys. I'm pretty hairy.
But I want to know what Asabi has to say about the best girl group songs.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I also went in a chronological order.
Lovely.
And started with what I consider to be the ultimate girl group. Not as far back as the Andrews Sisters, but a little bit further ahead, the Supremes.
Nice.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them. I know. They're just relegated to the past.
Yeah.
You Which keep song? Me hanging on.
Right.
Nice. Oh, yes. Applause for that one. Yes, recorded in 1906 and written by the Motown trio of Holland, Dozier, Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they wrote 10 HDH. Of the Supremes' number one hits. Pretty amazing. They were pretty amazing. This was recorded in 1966 for them. I love that four on the floor beat. Mm-hmm. It's quite funky pop for the day. And of course, at that point, Diana Ross had been anointed the lead singer of the group because they did come in as a trio. Or actually, they came in as four.
Four, yeah.
And then one of their members left to...
Effie White left the group.
Bye, Effie. Mm. See you, Felicia.
Effie, we all got pain. That's
right. I think she was having children or she got married. You know, things that you did back then. And it took them a while to get into Motown because Barry Gordy thought they were too young.
Yep.
And so, you know, they came in and they would just do anything that they could just to sort of be in his purview, you know. So they'd come in and they would record hand claps on songs or just record backing vocals. And they did do a few recordings that were not as successful, but then I guess they had annoyed him enough and Barry said, "All right, fine, I'll sign you to the label."
Yeah.
And finally gave them a few songs. So You Keep Me Hanging On was one of their number one hits. It is one of six songs. So it's been covered by a number of people. Kim Wilde, most successfully.
I do know that version.
And so it's one of six songs to reach number one by two different groups on the Billboard Hot 100.
Right, yeah, cool. Yeah.
But Kim obviously not being from America.
Yeah.
So, and it was also covered by a band called Vanilla Fudge. In 1967, I did not get a chance to unpack that. No pun intended.
That's what you could call like a white homosexual man. It's a white fudge.
They were four white guys.
I knew it.
Yep. And I had made a mental note to go and see if I could find a recording, and I didn't get a chance to do that.
I think that deserves a deep dive.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to figure out who Vanilla Fudge is.
Yes.
But yeah, so it has been covered by a number of different people. What did I have here? I consider
one,
them. Yeah, it went to number one. I consider them trailblazers specifically for African Americans and blues and hip hop and pop that have come after them, because you know there were a number of black groups, but back in that time you had segregated radio in the US, right? So if you were a black act, it was really difficult to get mainstream play on other radio stations. So what Motown did with these women, they really dressed them up. Like they really glamorized them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were as big, if not bigger, than the Beatles at the time.
Absolutely.
Like they were well known, well loved all over the world, even going as far as to have their own brand of bread. And what's more American
than
that?
Can I get some
that?
Of that bread, please?
I want to know, was it white bread?
I think it might have been. It could have been rye, but I don't know.
it definitely wasn't pumpernickel. No. Right? That's mm-hmm.
I bet it was white bread. Mm. But so I read that and I was like, oh, that's interesting. A brand of bread. Supremes.
What's that merchandising piece that we've talked about? Like, they really were like the first kind of like merchandise kind of girl group. And, and we all know that Motown was to bring black acts to the mainstream.
Yes.
And also, I think when you think about like Diana Ross herself, like she had this tone that was really accessible as well for both a white and a black audience.
Yes.
Because a lot of the time people are like, I don't want to hear a black singer. They're too loud or they're too like
or
kind
of
thing.
People would complain that they couldn't understand
what
they
were saying. Exactly.
So there was one of the critiques that they received from a reviewer was that, you know, adults can actually understand 9 out of 10 things they say.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, oh,
so off the times, right? And on the flip side of that, when people discovered like later on that Diana had soul, that was a whole different like thing in itself, you know, like it was just really, really interesting, like just following that trajectory of Motown and how they had to
inch actual like class and taste into the white world.
Exactly. Yes. So it was palatable and that's a real, like, we could digress about that.
Well, you know, you can't just throw things onto people. You got to give them a little bit, get them used to it. You know, it's like eating broccoli, right? You know, you take a little taste. Is it all right? Okay, have a little bit more.
Just like eating broccoli, just throw some butter on it and call it a day.
So what cheese. You're saying is that Diana Ross is the butter
on African American. And I will spread her on her Supreme's bread any time of the day. Thank you very much.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's my... And now on a Sabi scale of singability, I give this an 8.
The audience has been very delayed in their response today, I have to say.
I know. Audience might get fired. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. We love the audience. The audience. All right, now my next song, and we're skipping probably almost 20 years into the future, so about 17. This is a song that the first time I heard it, I don't know how old I was, maybe 8, but it was everything to me. So it's Cruel Summer by Bananarama.
Oh, Bananarama.
Yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. Now, as an 8-year-old, I can't have too much angst. I didn't. But I loved what this song was, just talking about being lonely in the summer. But it was such an upbeat, poppy song. And you saw these three women in their overalls just having a good time. Mm-hmm. I really loved the 80s. I wish I wanted to be grown in the 80s because I saw how much fun everybody looked to be having, and this group was just super fun.
Yes.
You know, it has that hook in the beginning with that don 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 don, you know, I just I love it. It's what the 80s should be. Or it's what the 80s were.
Yeah, literally.
What they were.
True.
They truly were this. And it's just fresh and free. And this is off their second studio album that was called Bananarama. Mm-hmm. And they filmed the video in New York City, which I thought was pretty cool. So, you know, they're just running around New York City in Central Park and having a good time.
Yes.
Being girls, what? And now this song was number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 8 in the UK. And it is number 13 on the Greatest Girl Group Song of All Time.
I believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
So that... Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I know. It beat the Pointer Sisters. And I tried to get a look at this list, but you have to be a member on Billboard's.
I tried as well.
Because I wanted to see where this
is. What is with these paid articles these days?
Well, I don't know if you actually need to pay. I think it's free to sign up, but I was like, I don't have time for that.
Gotta get that fake email address, the one that you use for all subscribers.
For spam.
Yes, that's right. Now, I think that the Bananarama, they're one of the top girl groups to ever come out of the UK. So they had like 28 hits on the UK top 50, and they covered a Supreme song called Nathan Jones as well. Another song I'm not very familiar with, but this song also featured in the film Karate Kid, which is where I heard
it.
And so and that was how I was introduced to this song. So I remember seeing Karate Kid back at the theater when it was completely sold out and packed and
wax on, wax off.
And you had to sit in the front row looking straight up.
That is not the worst.
Yeah. and you know, separated from your parents because there was like you just had to find a seat. So yep, I remember that song and it was the best. It was such a good song. So that for me, because it is so singable and it is so relatable and it just so feel good, that gets a 10 on Asabi scale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think that's my first 10.
Yes, for Bananarama.
Yep. One fun, cool fact about this group as well, they always sang in unison.
Yes.
All three of them, they always sang in unison. Huh. So,
it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. But if they sang in unison, did they have background vocals that would add harmonies? Or
no. Everything's in unison.
I'll have to listen to their catalog again. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so if you think about Venus, another song of theirs.
I rule the earth.
It's all.
I was thinking of the shaving ad because I remember how Gillette had Venus and they used that song.
Yes.
That's funny.
So that's your second pick?
That's my second pick.
Yes. What's number three?
So now my third pick is 9 years into the future and it's a group called En Vogue.
Oh, yeah, nice. Mm-hmm.
Free Your Mind. Mm-hmm. I love this tune. Love it. Love it. It was like they were singing what needed to be said. So it's a tune that talks about racial prejudice and mm-hmm. the way, for me anyway, the way black women tend to be seen. And they're basically saying, stop. Just stop criticizing us within the black community and without.
Yeah.
Because, you know, very first verse is looking inward and, you know, the things that people say, oh, you're dating a white man. Well, you must not like your people or you have straight hair or, you know, and that's the voices from within our own community that are criticizing us. You know, we struggle with colorism and that sort of thing. And then the next few verses go outside of that. And I loved it. It was so like everybody was just like, what? Did they just say that? Did they just do that? Oh my God, this is great. You know? So it was shocking at first, like, you know, you first time you hear it, you're like, oh, but then it kind of sets in. And they did it sort of outside of their R&B spectrum,
yes.
right? So it was more kind of heavy metal, hard rock, just really in your face, pumping. And I think that resonated with more than their normal audience.
Yeah,
as
yes.
well.
And use of live instruments too. Like, when you, I know there's the other one that we haven't talked about. Their huge song, "Don't Let Go, Love."
Right. Okay.
But I love like it's all guitar riff driven
yes.
and like live drum kits. Like,
yes.
I guess that really does help with the crossover as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they could sing their freaking face off.
They were amazing. And so, you know, they added their R&B harmonies on mm-hmm. top of that, and it just really made the song. It was great. Such a good song. So now this one was only ranked at number 41 on the greatest girl groups of all time by Billboard. But it hit number 8 at its peak and it hit number 16 in the UK. And even though they never won a Grammy, they are still considered one of the most popular girl bands to ever come out of the US.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, on Vogue, like doing research for this, like they're on every list.
Yes.
Which was, it was, I wanted to know which song would be chosen by En Vogue.
There's so many, so many. I initially thought about putting Giving Him Something He Could Feel.
Because
that's even, it's a cover, but that was one of my favorites from them. But I really loved Free Your Mind as well.
It's a great song.
Absolutely.
And also, I think a lot of like those like influential groups like En Vogue or even Diana Ross.
Mm.
Diana Ross had never had a Grammy win either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's never won a Grammy.
I did not
and she
know
is like
this.
An
she's
icon.
She's iconic.
She's absolutely iconic.
Oh,
yeah.
Far out. That's a shame. She should get an honorary Grammy.
Yeah.
You would think. Yeah.
You would think.
She might have one. Does she have one?
I don't know. She's definitely in the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They'd have to be. That would just be insane to not have them. That's riot. Reducing right there.
All right. Well, that's before we start writing. That was number 3.
Oh, that was number 3. And on my scale of singability, I gave it an 8.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so that's great. All right. So on to number 4. This is a song I've actually been listening to on repeat for the last 3 weeks. So SWV's Right Here, The Human Nature Remix.
Asabi's had so many applauses today. She's doing well.
I'm hitting them out of the park.
Yes.
And I have to stress that it is the Human Nature remix. So there is another Right Here that they released. And then this one was remixed by Teddy Riley. And the girls have, not so, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, please stop hitting your mic.
Before we started recording, I was like, Josh, do not hit the mic today. And I even stepped away from the mic and I still hit it.
You still hit it.
I'm cursed.
But the girls have gone on record as saying that they weren't very fond of that Teddy Riley remix, even though that has been a huge hit for them.
Sure.
I love it, number one, because, I mean, who doesn't love Michael Jackson?
Exactly.
Wait, let me ask that again. Who doesn't love Michael Jackson? No. and it has that human nature rift all through it, or hook, and it just, this song gives me life. I love this song so much. I love the drum beats, the harmonies, and then, you know, you've got that beautiful synth that just sort of plays through the song. It you feel like you're just relaxing on a beach.
I love that.
When you hear this song. It is just so beautiful. Never mind the lyrics. The lyrics are great. But just the sound of the song itself is what I really love.
And what does SWV stand for?
Sisters with Voices.
That's right.
So they were originally a gospel group. That's why they were created, and then they started singing R&B. Now, one of this song is ranked number 17 on the greatest girl groups of all time by Billboard. And yeah, it's actually part of what's known as the New Jack Swing sound. Are you guys familiar with that sound? So it's like a mix of hip hop and dance pop with R&B melodies and lyrics on top.
New Jack Swing.
New Jack Swing.
So kind of a fusion piece, if you will.
Yeah, it's a bit of fusion. I'm trying to remember. So Janet Jackson's Control album was probably one of the first albums to use that sound on it.
So,
you know, she had that Minneapolis sound, but then
is that the same producers?
I don't believe it is.
Because those two guys are really responsible for like that Control album. I forgot their names.
Because
they were,
Jimmy Jam.
Yes.
And Terry Lewis.
Yes.
That's it.
Great memory, Asabi. In fact.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Honestly, don't know how I pulled that one out. But they were big. They were very, very big. So, yeah, that new... And there, I was trying to remember the name of a tune, and they actually sing about the New Jack Swing era.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so they mention it in their songs.
Is this a 9?
It is a 9.
Oh, Zane's getting onto this scale real good.
Try to pick where it is, because we've got a 10 now, so we know where that is.
Yes. So Cruel Summer is a 10. You'd be surprised with some 10s that I have, because a lot of it is feeling for me.
Nostalgia,
that nostalgia and the way it makes me feel.
Love that.
Yep. So that's a 9 on the singability scale. And now my final song is one that some of our listeners might have heard of. Very few, I would say, if they're all English language listeners. This is a song by a group called Morning Musume.
Yeah.
Which is a J-pop band. 8 members. It was formed in 1997. The name of the song is Daite Hold On Me. Yeah, it makes no sense.
Cool. Yes.
So the rise of girl groups started in Japan around the mid-90s and just sort of took over. They call them idol groups, you know. So they make them very cute, and they usually get a lot of them. They're still very strong in Asia, actually, right now. So there's a lot of K-pop bands that are very big.
Mm. On the rise, mate.
Yes.
Well, they are starting to break through into
the mainstream. Yep. With their boy bands as well. Yeah.
Well, BTS, the most talked about band of the moment.
Exactly. So this one, Morning Musume, or now they're known as Morning Musume 2.0, or Momusu, because they're kind of like the equivalent to Menudo, right? So you know how Menudo continued; it just has new members every now and again.
Right.
So they're rotating members all the time. So this band is still going to this day and still releasing music. They are, I want to say, they're like the second highest selling singles of all time in Japan.
Right.
They're just massive. So now I moved to Japan to study back in 98, and their third hit was just dropping at the time, and they used to release them on those little 8 centimeter discs, you know, those little tiny
oh,
ones.
Yes. Yeah.
And so those were huge in Japan. So of course, you know, this was all over the radio, this song, and we heard it. We loved it. We were just like, yay, J-pop. Whoa, it's so good. You know, and they've just like, they had this like cutesy little voices. you know, and it was just like, oh my God, what is this? But everybody loved them. Like they had sex appeal. They were cute. They do all these cute little.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Poses, you know, they'd bat their eyes, and then they'd sing about songs, you know, love, and like, oh boy, he doesn't love me, but I want him to hold me so much. Oh, you know. And we
I feel very attacked right now.
Like, I mean, I will say, like, that's a lot of songs.
It is.
In every culture.
Yes.
Very true. Very true. Yes. But I mean, it's just the cutesy, the cute factor that they had. And we just, we loved them. And I love this song because it's got like a little rap in the middle of it, you know, and like they're singing all cutesy and then they're like, yep, yeah, you know, and it's like, whoa, okay. And they were like badass women, but, you know, very cute. Yeah. So, yeah, Daite Hold On Me. Love this song. I actually own that little 8-inch, 8-centimeter disc. I still have it. And it was just, that song was everything for us that summer when we were in Japan.
So it's sung in Japanese.
It is. Yeah. So, and that was the other funny thing. It's kind of like they sing it in Japanese, but then they throw in these English phrases everywhere, which is very common with a lot of Japanese songs.
So is Daite Hold On Me like an English translation of the title, or is
no,
it called
that is the name of the song is Daite Hold On Me.
Very interesting.
And they sing that in the song, Daite Hold On Me, you know. Yeah.
So, okay, well, that's your
five. Those
are my
fives.
You haven't given that one a singability.
I gave it a 7. Okay. Now, it's a 7 now. It was probably closer to a 9 when I lived there because my Japanese was much better. And now I listened to it and I was like, I don't understand anything anymore. I can't sing it.
All right, well, thanks for your list. I'm so glad that you got the Supremes and Bananarama and On Vogue on there because
Yay.
I tried to fit 8 songs in a 5-song list, but I couldn't.
Very diverse. Very diverse.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with Josh's list.
Hey guys, it's Julie
and KB
from Elvis Lives, a conspiracy theory podcast.
What do we talk about, Julie?
Conspiracies.
No way.
What kind do we talk about?
Celebrities.
Government.
Time travel.
Ooh. Tune in every Monday.
What day?
Monday.
What was it?
Monday.
Oh, Monday.
Monday for your fill of conspiracy theories.
And we're back. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another episode of Shuffology. And this week, we are talking girl groups.
Is it a jerk?
I hope
no,
it's not
but
a
I
joke.
No, but I just pressed the wrong button, actually, to be quite honest. The audience has been so good today.
They're laughing when they're not supposed to, crying when they're not supposed to.
Whistling all over the place. It's
exactly
insane.
Exactly, the audience. Well, you've heard from myself and from our wonderful producer, Zane. Yay. Now we're going to hear from Josh DeVetta and find out what his pick for girl groups are.
Lovely. Well, as I said at the beginning of the episode, this is my favorite week so far, probably my favorite since the musicals week sort of thing. And everyone's done a great I guess smorgasbord of their choices today, and it's been very chronological and telling of our history. I've done none of that, so I will say a lot of my groups that I've chosen have been I guess a part of the marketing, like that whole cultural influence of the time and things like that. Also, the UK have brought out some of the biggest girl bands of all time, and I wanted to really talk about that. So, the first choice that I've that I'm putting on the list, and I've done it as like an education piece as well, is there's a group from the early 2000s, and they lasted nearly 10 years. They were called Girls Aloud, and they came out of a show called Pop Stars The Rivals. Now, Pop Stars was a bit of a phenom. It was the pre-Australian Idol, same producers not Australian, but Idol in general. Same producers, you know, Nigel Lithgow, all those people, pre-Simon Cowell, basically. Yeah, okay. And anyway, so basically, if you know the Pop Stars format, they would go out and have these big open cattle call auditions to find their next superstars. And then if they made it to the next round, there would be like maybe a group of like 50 guys and 50 girls, and they'd have more auditions and more, you know, challenges to try and break it down. And then basically, every week they would perform as solo artists, and the country would keep on voting for them until they finally had this thing where they finally got it down to 5 girls and 5 guys.
Wow.
So basically, reality singing TV competitions were taking more than 2 weeks, like what they do now today.
Yes.
And so basically the nation was falling in love with these people every single week, and they were choosing their girl band and their boy band. And then once they got down to the getting the girl band and the boy band, they had 2 weeks to promote the single, and the winner of the show was whoever got the Christmas number one, because that's a huge thing in the UK to get the Christmas number one.
Okay.
And so basically they would go out, and they both had these two different songs. So this song that I've chosen is called Sound of the Underground, and it was their debut single, basically. And so for that 2 weeks they would campaign it and shop it around and go on radio, etc., and then they come back for the finale. And whoever got the Christmas number one got to win the recording contract and all the pageantry.
Wow.
And
that's intense.
You know, going on Top of the Pops. Remember Top of the Pops back in the day? And Top of the Pops was like the UK Billboard sort of thing, whoever was number one that week, they got to perform, basically. It was a really, really cool concept. So this song, because there have been a couple of other girl bands prior with like Atomic Kitten and things. Mm. And so the UK girl band sound was very bubblegum, very marketed that thinking what they thought girls wanted at the time.
Yes.
Now, when the Sound of the Underground came out, it was edgy. It was really quite rocky as well. Like, it was this really different sort of thing. So when they won, people just loved the fact that it didn't sound like any other track that they were hearing at the time from all those girl groups. So the production company behind this song is Brian Higgins and his production company, Xenomania. Brian Higgins is a co-writer on Cher's Believe. So with that, he actually was able to, he had his own vision of what the sound that he wanted to achieve as a producer, and Girls Aloud end up becoming his guinea pigs and when you hear the music, it doesn't sound like other Brit pop girl groups. Like, it's very experimental. I remember watching an interview on their, like, you know, 10 years at the top sort of, like, you know, summarization of their decade, and they said that they would actually be recording like something like 26 songs in the space of like 2 days.
Oh my god.
And they would come back a week later, and they had joined all the different parts together to make the one song. They would listen to the song going, oh, I'm pretty sure we recorded that song 2 weeks ago, but that's not what it sounded like when we were in the studio. Because they were really taking advantage of technology to put these songs together. And fun fact, Girls Aloud actually had the Guinness World Record for the most top 20 entries out of a girl group.
Wow.
Yeah, so they got 20 top 20s.
Wow.
They have, yeah.
That's impressive.
And they were one of those things where, like, people just expected them to be around for a year because of the usual, you know, TV show format sort of thing. But they didn't want it to end. And so they actually end up becoming like this fan-driven, cohort. Like, they were actually bigger than the Spice Girls at one point, just in the UK alone.
Yeah.
They weren't able to crack any other market because the UK chose this band. So
yeah, that's
only
right.
They would actually really get the whole, you know, pageantry and, the whole sound of Girls Aloud.
I don't think we had Idol at the time, did we?
American Idol was 2002 when Kelly Clarkson won.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't tell me why I remember that. I just know.
Well, I know Kelly won because I remember from Justin to Kelly.
Yeah.
That terrible thing.
That lovely movie. Right? Yes.
I just didn't remember what year.
And Kelly Clarkson to this day is still the most successful idol winner out of all the TV shows that they've had in the past nearly 20 years.
Wow. Is that every idol show or just
every
in America?
Idol show?
Wow.
Yeah, because her global success is just, it's something to almost revere. It's like, holy, well, they really, really wanted to prove that this show was going to work.
Yeah.
And they really invested so much into Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. Also, she's talented as hell.
Yeah, thank
so
you.
That kind of helped.
She is talented.
And I think at the time, because it was post 9/11 and everything like that, I think America were looking for like that girl next door sort of person to be their next pop star.
She was just a waitress from North Carolina or something.
Texas. She's from Texas,
Same
and
thing.
Had that southern thing. Hey, hi, y'all.
Yes.
I just wanted to audition for American Idol. And then, but could sing like this black woman. Like,
yes. incredible talent.
And so with, so Girls Aloud. Also, they, so with the Cheryl Cole is like one of their big, the most successful person to go solo. Was able to work with will.i.am. And in Australia, she had a huge song here with will.i.am called Three Words. It's the one that goes, three words saved my life. It wasn't complicated. Okay, I'm going too much into the song now. Josh has gone off into a singing phase again. What a surprise.
I know her name because I think there was a drag queen called Cheryl Hole.
Yep, exactly it. Exactly. And he got to, and Cheryl Hole ended up being in the lip sync with Cheryl in front of him.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Girls Aloud, really, really big in the UK.
Okay.
And really, really, like, just I kind of, even though like you could tell they didn't like each other, I kind of wanted to believe that they liked each other, which is cool. And also Cheryl wasn't the most talented. Like, it was like another girl called Nadine. She was like the Mariah Carey of the group,
right,
sort of thing.
Okay.
And of course the best singer sometimes doesn't always get the attention they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my next choice, we're going to go back in time 30 years. Now, this is one of my most favorite songs of my life.
Oh, boy.
I think I've covered this song myself. I watch Bridesmaids over and over again because of this song. And the song's called Hold On by Wilson Phillips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Such.
Oh, my God. This song is... It's a beautiful song, but there is comedy there with
the
song.
There is comedy with the song. Also, they actually did reach number one with this song back in 1990, and then Mariah Carey came, and then everything was just done after that.
Mimi took over.
Well, Josh mentioned Mariah Carey again. Yeah. What a surprise. So with that, just from the beginning of the song, like, it is that Casio piano sort of sound coming, the synth, and they... come with the vocal line, and all of a sudden, 3-part harmony straight away.
Yes.
I know this pain.
Yes.
Can we listen to it later?
Such a great song.
Also, the girls, actually, the reason why they're called Wilson Phillips is because one of them is the daughter of Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, and the other two are from the
Mamas and the Papas.
Yep. Yeah. Those two, what were their names again? Phillips. Phillips, exactly. And they join it together. And they actually have a really, really crazy story. The Wilson girl, she actually had a really big past of drug abuse and things like that. And this song actually was what helped her drag her out of her big struggles with substance abuse. And she was saying, like, yeah, I would be singing these lyrics in the studio, like, if I can just hold on for one more day, maybe I could finally get... I'm like, oh, that's actually a really lovely story, because it's so beautifully put together. It's earworm. Like, every single section of the song is earworm. Like, there are many times where I'll just be tapping along going, someday somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Just really, really great. And just what a great message. I think that message can still translate to today. And Wilson Phillips are definitely in that Billboard, best girl groups of all time. Time list
I would
as well.
Say this track is very—it's timeless.
It is timeless. And like, no matter if you're just at home by yourself, you're at a party, when this song comes on, like, the vibe in the room just lifts. There's just something really. There's a real spiritual experience for me, anyway. A real spiritual experience behind that song. So good on them. Shout out to Wilson Phillips. If you want to hang out sometime, actually, we were just talking about Kelly Clarkson. They came and performed on Kelly Clarkson's show because she has her own talk show. And at the beginning, they do Kellyoke, where Kelly actually opens the whole show by singing a song that the audience chooses. What? And so they chose Hold On by Wilson Phillips, and then Wilson Phillips came out and sang with her with that song as well. It's really, really cute.
Well, now, sidebar on Kelly's show, is that it's an online show, isn't it?
Well, at the moment it is because of COVID-19. Okay. It definitely is like, it's the same network as Ellen, and it's the show right before Ellen. So they're like 11 till 12.
Yes.
And then Ellen's 12 to 1 p.m. Yeah. Basically.
I want to say Ellen is on NBC, but I don't know for sure.
I
don't
can't remember.
Quote me on that.
Ellen's not very popular at the moment, but we'll talk about that another day. All right. So that's two choices I've given you so far. Is that correct? Yeah,
that is two. So what's your third, Lovely?
Lovely. Well, I am going to... Yeah, we'll do this one next. All right. So we'll move a couple of years ahead. I don't know if you've heard of a little group called TLC.
Oh.
No, hey, I've never heard of them.
Hey,
no?
Hey.
And anyway, TLC had this incredible song called Waterfalls from their Crazy Sexy Cool album. Oh, sorry.
Mariah.
Oh, all the sounds.
Everything.
All the sounds.
Yes.
So this song is... very powerful. The storytelling, as Zane, he loves songs that tell stories. This is definitely like a modern thing of that, talking about, you know, suicide and drug addiction and how families are affected.
Unprotected sex.
Yes. And how families can be affected by that as well. Mm. And, you know, the message of, you know, like when you're going through something and that, like, you know, because it's saying like, don't go chasing waterfalls, stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. It's like, well, are you saying to just, if you don't feel like you can go move ahead, stay in the lane that you're in? Like, it's really, really interesting conversation that the song brought out, written by Lisa Left Eye Lopes.
Lopez,
yeah. And who, rest in peace, she did pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just the whole, like, the video was very expensive to make because it was all that CGI, if you remember, they were dancing in the ocean sort of thing. And they were just, and what's really, really interesting is that a lot of people didn't actually revere TLC for their talent, like, which is really, really interesting. But they were very, like, the look was on point.
Yep.
They had this charisma, like, they could deliver this content because they weren't incredible singers or anything
like
that.
Well, they had the one. They had Cherry. Cherry was the one incredible singer. T-Boz was your sort of, she was good, but she was that contralto voice. And then Left Eye, who could just rap.
Exactly. And so. Chili famously dated Usher for a while, too. Mm. Yeah, that's a different sermon. But,
so many stories. Yes.
But with Waterfalls, like, I remember being in primary school when it came out, and I didn't know what the song meant back then. I just loved the, like, I remember just listening to the hook and all, you know, just singing along, don't go chasing waterfalls. And then when I was older, and I remember when I started looking at, like, you would like type in, you know, TLC Waterfalls lyrics,
yes,
and I just wanted to learn the song, so I was going through the lyrics and I'm going, this is intense, man. Like, it's really, and so that's when I started going to, like, why the song was, like, the song did go number one. And just TLC are very important, I think, to the blueprint of having, you know, it's just similar to the Supremes, like being a part of the blueprint for colored, your girl groups, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they weren't a bubblegum pop girl group. No. They wasn't about, like, we were talking about, like, you know, oh, cute, like, you know, all this. Like, they were talking about real shite sort of thing. They really, really were. And, you know, and further on, they had bigger songs like, you know, No Scrubs and Creep and Unpretty, like all those really, really big things. And, yeah, and what was really, really interesting is that because they were more like a production deal group, similar to Seduction, they were winning Grammys, like all this, and getting no money. At one Grammy, post-Grammy interview, they cleaned up, like, three Grammys that night. And I'll link you to the interview one time. And they were having this post-win interview, and they were just being really honest. They're like, we've won these Grammys and we have no money. Like, we don't, like, we get an allowance from the label. We've made no money from our touring, no money from our sales.
When you sign with an agency, you'll get fronted an amount of money up front, and then it's basically like a loan.
Yes, exactly.
So that you have to go out and you have to do your tours, you've got to, you know, write music, you've got to do all of this stuff to, like, you know, if you get like $150,000, you have to pay that back.
Yes, exactly.
And so
right.
It's not until you make that you then start.
Exactly. And also it's that other thing of like, if it's a production deal, for instance, the 90s were infamous for really, really crappy record deals where the people that signed you are making more money than you are yourself because that's their surefire way of making sure that if they take a risk on you,
that's right.
that they're going to receive some type of monetary value back. And so I really, really felt like really feel for TLC because they really were one of the biggest girl groups of all time.
They really were.
And to basically have like this no financial like portfolio to back it up. It could be quite, you can see why all these acts become depressed and turn to other things to get through life because the biggest thing that they were great at, they didn't even, you know, get to receive the benefits of that besides being famous.
Well, I mean, this is just before like the trend of artists creating their own record labels
exactly.
to release their own stuff because...
Well, back then you had to have a label.
There was no way to get seen,
you know? As Waterfalls, amazing. If you've never heard that song, get on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, right now, listen to it because it's an incredible song. You probably might think it's dated, but the song I think is timeless.
Oh,
personally.
It's been used in movies. Like, I can't remember.
It was in Captain Marvel because they wanted it to reflect the mid-90s that it was set and things like that. That was the best part of that movie for me. That was a 90s soundtrack, actually.
A little side note about TLC as well, that, you know, in terms of being one of the top selling girl groups in the US, mm-hmm. they're number three.
Yes, they sold so many records. Incredible. Okay. Now, another amazing girl group to come out of the US, which we'll move on to my fourth choice, another colored girl group as well. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're called Destiny's Child.
Who?
Some people just call them Beyonce and the backup girls.
Thank you.
Now, Destiny's Child started out very, very young. They were like, so once Matthew Knowles, who was Beyonce's dad, located that his daughter had talent, they started into pop star boot camp at like 8 years old.
Yep.
Like Beyonce has done nothing else.
Yeah, you know, that's all she's done
her entire life is be an icon. What a career. and just the And this guy had no music industry. Like he basically similar. Like he used his because he was a business owner. Mm. Whatever money they made, they invested into this girl group, and they wanted to shop around. And they enlisted cousins. Like Kelly Rowland is Beyonce's cousin. Mm-hmm. There was a time where Michelle Williams wasn't in Destiny's Child at one point. There were a five group, then a four group, and then a trio.
Yep.
So the song that I've chosen is "Say My Name."
Oh yeah.
Huge song. Yeah. Number one on the Billboard charts. Number one in the UK, I think, for like 7 weeks or something like that. Really, really big. Now, also I wanted to talk about there's a really, really big producer that went from R&B into pop. His name's Darkchild, Rodney Jerkins.
Yes.
And he really was a part of changing what R&B and hip-hop was going to sound like for the next decade, similar to Max Martin with pop music. And, you know, with R&B, it was very like, you know, you had your 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Darkchild came in and changed the beat to 1, 2, 3, and 4, and so it was these different beats that were coming in. And I remember choreographers even had to change how they were choreographing because they were like, where are these beats coming from? Where's my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Like, it was all these different things. And with that, like, the Destiny's Child have always been known for their tight harmonies. They were a harmonizing group, but also this marketability of being this dance group as well. Tina Knowles, who they're not married anymore, but like she would design all the clothes for the group. Like, it was like this in-house family from Dallas, Texas, that somehow were able
Houston, Texas.
That were able to create and that create this huge juggernaut of a package that record labels just ate. I think they ended up signing to Sony Columbia after all. But just their influence and just their pop culture influence as well. Like, you know, we always, like, even the joke around how it was just Beyonce and the backup dancers, that's marketing, right?
Yeah.
You know, poor Michelle, that was always, which is really sad because Michelle is actually very talented.
She's extremely talented.
And Kelly Rowland is a star in her own right as well. She has one of those smoothest voices in the game. Mm. Just that tone is stunning.
And she's been on, is it Idol? No, what?
Well, she's on The Voice here. She's a coach here, on The Voice.
Here in Australia. So.
And she's had her own great solo. Like, she was actually the first girl to actually have a solo single out of the group with Nelly Dilemma.
Oh, I did. So not know that,
That was pre Crazy in Love,
yes.
Bonnie and Clyde with Jay-Z, all that kind of stuff. Mm. And so with that, now Destiny's Child definitely, like, it was they had their problems too. Like I said, they went from five girls to four girls to three girls, all sort of thing. And then
weren't they sued? A couple of their members have been sued
in the past. Yeah. And also it was very much Matthew Knowles was pushing Beyonce to be at the front. And you know what, when I look back at it now, she was definitely the most the hardest worker.
Yeah.
Like, in the sense, like, I think her voice had developed. I don't think she was the best singer early on in Destiny's Child. She had to learn to be an amazing singer, in my opinion, and was doing different types of riffs. Like, they weren't your usual R&B riffs. She was going almost Arabic with her scales going up and down and things. Yes. Like, it was really, really interesting. And also, they had, like, all their songs are female empowerment, amazingness from, like, Say My Name, Independent Woman, Survivor, Jumpin'. Like,
bills.
Like, the list goes on and on. They are arguably, I think they're like the number one selling group from America or something like that. I don't know if it's the top five.
They're in the top five.
Top four. So, yeah.
Well, top five. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
So, like, incredible metrics. And also, they got global success as well.
Yes.
I saw Destiny's Child in concert back in 2006, and I've never been the same again. Like, it was just this incredible experience. And Say My Name. And I think I remember when I first saw the video, because I grew up Christian, so we weren't listening to too much secular music. And I remember I was watching television with my grandpa, and Destiny's Child came up, and he just goes, "Oh, they need to put some clothes on." And I think even at 11 years old, I was like, "Dad, oh, granddad, stop saying that. Like, they look great. Like, stop it."
You knew. Sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so I wanted to really, really talk about Destiny's Child because they keep on, and also they keep on teasing me with this reunion, and they need to make it, and they need to make it happen.
They need to do it.
They need to make it happen because,
oh my God, that would sell out the world.
Oh, absolutely. Say My Name is, well, I've also seen Beyonce live twice, and she does a Destiny's Child medley as well.
Cool.
And yeah, it's really, really cool. So that's my
fourth song.
My fourth song. And the last one, it's a bit more of a funnier one, but I wanted to talk about it. And So back in the mid 2000s, there was this girl group that came out called the Pussycat Dolls.
What'd you just call me?
I called you a Pussycat Doll, bitch. But
I think that's a label that anyone could be proud to
wear. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, the Pussycat Dolls were actually a burlesque troupe back in the late 90s sort of thing, fronted organized by this woman who definitely wins an award for one of the worst plastic facelifts in the world, Robin Anton. And what was happening is that they were really taking LA by storm. Like, if you went to LA, you would go see the Pussycat Dolls live review, because they were also getting celebrities to front these shows. So Gwen Stefani's actually done a Pussycat Dolls show, Christina Aguilera, Christina Applegate, and that was the whole part of the marketing. And then and these were hot shows because they were very modernized burlesque.
Yes.
It was and the pageantry of it all, and how it was just this really, really great, like, it was just really quite innovative at the time, of what was going on in the scene, sort of thing.
Yep.
And anyway, that one of the nights, there were some record label executives that came to see the Pussycat Dolls live review, and they were like, let's talk, because we can probably do something out of this, because there's something here. And what I love about the Pussycat Dolls is that it's a dance troupe that's just led by one girl.
Yes.
Because Nicole Scherzinger,
she's
a talent.
Yes, she is.
She can sing. Now, I'm not saying she's the greatest musical theater actress of all time, but the woman, and she has star quality and natural sex appeal. Like, she doesn't have to try to be sexy. She looks at the camera and already she's got that appeal, you know?
It steams.
She's Hawaiian Filipino descent, which I love that there was like a girl group that was fronted by a person of color. I loved that. And also, so the songs I've chosen is Buttons.
Yes.
because also they were working with the biggest producers at the time, signed by Ron Fair, who also signed Christina Aguilera. And as I said, he was known for signing really big female acts. Like, that was his thing with RCA Records. And anyway, so the first album was called PCD, released back in 2005. Now, their biggest, most memorable song is Don't Ya, Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me, which I remember I first saw the video and I'm like, these girls are hot. Like, holy moly. And just like this whole different approach, because it was overtly sexual.
Yes.
It was really in your face.
Unapologetic.
Yeah. Really reminiscent of what Madonna would, like if you had like a group of Madonnas, you know, sort of thing. And the implication, and also just almost like this right in the line of confidence and cocky, like, don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like us, and they just all happen to be hot, like sort of thing. Like, really, really interesting. And I've always been fascinated by the Pussycat Dolls thing because of the whole Nicole basically singing, because she actually recorded the entire album herself.
Oh, what?
Down to background vocals, everything like that. And then they brought the girls in one day and said, these are the songs. And so any background vocal you hear is Nicole.
Yeah.
And they're with their microphone. I love them, because the Pussycat Dolls will just have their microphone and just go, ha, 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 ha. It's really, really funny. And that first album, PCD, was really well-produced pop music.
Yep.
That fusion of R&B and hip-hop with bubblegum pop. That, as we talked about, the in-your-face sexuality of it all. Like, I'm telling you to loosen up my buttons, babe. Uh-huh. Because you keep fronting, huh? Saying what you gonna do to me.
And
I think
just tell them to step up.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved the video, and they were really smart to collaborate with rappers, because like hip hop was so huge in the mid 2000s as well. So they had collaborated with Busta Rhymes and Snoop Dogg and Timbaland and like just all these huge stars at the time, and just were able to even to this day, like, because PCD did started a reunion this year.
Okay.
That I was actually supposed to go see them at the So Pop Festival, but it got cancelled because of Miss Rona. I actually saw the Pussycat Dolls in concert 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And do you know, do you know who the supporting act was?
Oh, I was about to say, were they the supporting act for Lady Gaga?
No, Lady Gaga was the support act for them.
Yes.
Because this is pre-bad romance.
Yeah. Yes. And everything. I remember that.
Which is
that
insane
concert
to think of now.
Yeah.
Because Lady Gaga is absolutely one of the biggest stars of the last 10 of the last 10 years. But I just loved, like, the choreography was amazing too, because it was that mix of burlesque, but with like what was hot at the time, and really just amazing, like kind of like a moment in pop culture history of this, like, you know, this dance troupe that were able to get number ones all over the place and this huge worldwide success through the realms of having one lead singer.
Yep. I remember that concert because my coworker at the time went, and when she came back, she was like, oh yeah, I saw the Pussycat Dolls last night. But you know, it was the opening act that I found really amazing. And then Lady Gaga came back as a headliner.
Yeah, for the Monster Ball tour.
Yep. And she less went and saw later. Yeah, less than a year later, and she went and saw her.
Amazing.
For that. Yes.
I love everything about that story. Mm. I went to the Monster Ball. We'll talk, we'll do a Lady Gaga moment.
We need a Lady Gaga.
I would love to do female, like, as in like strong female week, and we talk about that. I think it would be amazing.
Mm.
But yeah, but they're my five choices. I've got a couple of honorable mentions.
Yes, please tell.
So there's a really, really great. So first of all, we've already talked about the Spice Girls, so I'll just quickly mention To Become One. That's a moment.
That was the very first tune that my college a cappella group learned was To Become One.
What a great song.
It was arranged for us and we recorded it as well. So
such a good moment. And and when I've heard it, like, you know, you're at a house party and it comes on, like, vodka and the Spice Girls just go so well together.
Yes,
it's a great mix.
You.
It's a great cocktail. Mm. also, I already talked about Don't Let Go and Vogue. I didn't get to speak about two other UK girl groups because I was like, this is one of the hardest episodes for me because of like how much we get to choose from, but Never Ever by All Saints, moment,
absolutely. A moment.
That whole, I guess, like confessional at the beginning, where it's like you're at a eulogy at a funeral almost.
Mm.
Love that. Little Mix. So Little Mix when they won the X Factor back in 2011, and they actually they've been together longer than all the biggest acts. So like Spice Girls, Girls Aloud, all that kind of, they've actually stayed together. What's really interesting is that they've had UK huge success, European, worldwide, except they've still haven't quite cracked
the US.
The US in a juggernaut way, which is so interesting.
We're such actually difficult people.
and actually they...
Yes, you are.
They were actually the first UK girl group because they got a number one album.
Mm.
And the Spice Girls didn't even get to get a number one. They got a number one single, but they didn't actually quite get a number one album. With the is it Spice? Yeah, Spice was the album, wasn't
Spice.
It? Yeah,
Spice.
So they've actually had like some little like, you know, peaks along the way. But they actually have really, really good, like their music is of the times.
Yeah.
Being able to involve trap with pop music and hip hop and R&B and like, and they can all really sing really, really well.
And they're still going.
They're still going. Yeah.
So they've reached their 10-year anniversary next year, which is incredible. And they had never met before the show, and they kind of got put together. And it's one of those things where they don't want it to end. So I think they're just willing to work and work and work. Yes. I saw Little Mix in concert like 3 years ago, and there's one girl there. She's like this little blonde girl. Her name's Perry. She can sing. Like she's like, I'll show you a couple of videos sometime. It's one of those things where like her tone is just like, and she's trained. That's it. Yeah, so she's actually a classically trained singer that went into pop, but it's worked in her favor in an amazing way. So they're my honorable mentions. That's the playlist.
Fantastic. I have some honorable mentions.
Yes, tell us.
Yes, please.
Okay,
tell us.
So first I have two kinds of honorable mentions.
Yes,
I have one which is songs that were like on my big list, on my long list rather than my short list.
Yes.
And then also just a list of like girl groups, like 50s, 60s girl groups that I just wanted to get a song but I couldn't. So we have mentioned the Supremes, but you can't hurry love from the Supremes 1964.
Yes.
Oh, you just have to wait.
Yes. Oh, they had so many good songs.
So many. Like that's going through this, it was just like We Are Family from Sister Sledge.
Yes. Oh, what?
You know the thing. Sorry. They have an their album is also really bloody good.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, yeah.
Yes.
Love Is Like a Heat Wave from Martha Reeves and the Vandellas.
Yeah. Why do it for real when you can have a virtual hand clap?
Exactly.
Leader of the Pack, the Shangri-Las.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Be My Baby, the Ronettes.
Yes.
Tell Him, the Exciters.
Yes.
And the last song is My Boyfriend's Back by the Angels.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Some of the acts, the Chantels, the Bobettes, the Shirelles, the Marvelettes, the Crystals and the Chiffons.
Yes.
There's too many to name.
Yeah.
Did you just describe lots of material from Spotlight?
That's I did, yes.
All I heard was Chiffon.
Chiffon, Chantels, Bobettes, Shirelles, Marvelettes.
Sit down, Seymour. Chiffon gonna sing for you. Sorry, that was a little shop of hot rock. I just have all these musical theatre references all over the place.
Yeah. Crystals and Chiffons. What was the other one?
Marvelettes.
The Marvelettes?
No, the Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh.
They were called the Ronettes, weren't they? The urchins.
Wait, is Renette.
What were their names?
Oh, Renette,
their names, though.
It's Crystal and Chiffon.
Crystal, Chiffon, and...
I thought it was Ronette.
It might be Renette.
Yeah, my friend was Renette. Now that I think about it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I was very excited for this.
Yes.
This is like, amazing. It was very hard to get it down to five. Did you have any honorable mentions?
I only had the one, and it's not a band that I'm familiar with, and I love them just because of their name.
Yes.
They were a girl group back in the 70s, and they are an actual band as well, so they play all their own instruments, but they're called Fanny.
Oh, yes.
Fronted by two Filipino sisters who happened to move to the U.S. One plays guitar, the other plays bass, and I did watch a couple of videos of them from the 70s, and they're actually really, really good.
Yeah,
so
cool.
It's a band that I'm going to explore.
Absolutely. Also, just to quickly add to that list, now that we've talked about so many other girl groups, I think we'd be shot if I didn't at least just to say the words the Bangles and the Go-Go's.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
We Got the Beat and Walk Like an Egyptian.
Yes.
Bangers. Eternal Flame, as much as it hurts me to admit. Is a banger.
Manic Monday.
Yeah, right.
So good.
So for all those people that are listening, that are like, where are the Bangles? Where are the Go-Go's? We have acknowledged that they exist. Trust me. It was just really hard to like, because we only had five songs each.
15 songs. There are so many more than 15. Yeah,
15 songs and three flops.
That's right.
So which will be the next section.
That's right. We will take a short break and then we will come back with Is a Flop.
Thank you, sponsored ad, for your kind words. We have had like a incredible time today talking about girl bands, a topic that I think we are all quite professional in, actually, by the end of this talk, I think. Sure. So can we
if
please...
not professional, passionate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, thank you.
I've got a PhD in passion, years of it. So with it, we've had Asabi. Hey, Asabi. We've had our lovely producer, Zane, join us today. Thank
That's
you again
me.
For joining the table.
Oh, you're very welcome.
My name's... it's your table, so you can do whatever you want with it anyway. My name's Josh, and we have been shuffologizing all over... Oh, that's a... Can we put that as a word? Shuffologizing and breaking down some of our favorite girl band choices for this lovely playlist. Don't forget that you can reach out to us on social media. So we are Shuffology Podcast on Facebook, Shuffology Podcast on Instagram. You can also email us at shuffologypodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and tell us some of your choices that you think we missed, because we definitely missed a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. So many to choose from.
Well, right now we are up to my favorite segment of the week, and that is
it's a flop.
So we always have amazing choices to add to our playlist, and just to add a little bit of sugar, spice and everything nice, we choose three choices that are flops to us. We don't really want feeling it. As much as we love girl bands, there's some girl bands that make really, really bad choices. Those bad choices usually result in them breaking up, so.
Sometimes. Yes.
So we're going to start off with our amazing friend Zane. Can you please, with all your knowledge and passion for girl groups, mm-hmm. what's a flop in your life?
Now this is just personal choice, because this was a huge act. It is Atomic Kitten.
Yes.
And it's their song Hole Again.
I love that song so much. Looking back on when we first met.
Yep.
Asabi.
I just think it's a bad message. It's like, just move on.
Exactly.
Just
That's
get
true.
Over it. If he doesn't want to be with you, just find someone else.
Also, do you really need someone to make you whole again?
Yeah, exactly,
like,
right.
Really?
But that's the thing. Like, Atomic Kitten have done some really good stuff. And like, yes. I don't hold it against them. It's just, I don't particularly enjoy the message of this song.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Their cover of The Tide Is High is also quite a banger, actually, I have to say. Well, quite a
also, comment. They covered Eternal Flame by the Bangles.
Yes, they did. That is in my
girl group
list.
One of their biggest singles.
Right.
Yeah.
One of their biggest singles is a cover.
Yes.
Yes. Well,
are we surprised?
No.
Actually, Girls Aloud, one of their biggest singles is a cover of Jump by the Pointer Sisters as well. What? Yeah.
I almost put C'est La Vie by Bewitched on here as well, just because it was played to death for me when I was a youngin.
Still are a youngin, girl. Some people say I look like my dad. Okay, now I'm going to be definitely listening to Bewitched when I get off the air. Well, Zane, thank you so much for your brutal honesty. We appreciate it. And I can't wait to add Hole Again to the playlist, actually,
yeah, well,
for my benefit.
Exactly.
All right, Asabi, we've had one choice. What is yours?
All right, so my choice is a lesser known song by a very well-known group, Destiny's yes. Child.
I've never heard of them.
Right? Yeah. And the song is called Dot. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
No,
I give that a flop just for not knowing the title, to
Thank
be quite
you.
Honest.
So it was a song that was on the Charlie's Angels soundtrack, the very first Charlie's Angels that was done in 2000.
The Drew Barrymore, Lucy
yes.
Liu. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
And I don't know, I just didn't like it. And it was always the one that I would just kind of skip whenever I heard the, like, you know, I heard it a few times. I was like, oh.
Well, it was
underwhelming. It was
well,
an underwhelming tune.
I think also, if it doesn't hold a candle next to Independent Women part one
yeah. Where is part two?
We're still figuring it out, because it definitely wasn't last year's Charlie's
no.
Angels song.
No.
That was part two. Mm-hmm. That was so awful.
I hated
that film so much. And I saw it twice and I still hated it. Like, this is one of those things. And also the song was just underwhelming. Like,
yeah,
I love all
yeah.
those three girls. Like There's No Tomorrow, but that was not, it was called Don't Call Me Angel, and it just wasn't a thing.
Who?
Ariana Grande, Lana Del Rey, and Miley Cyrus. That's my honorary flop.
I was about to say, that sounds like a terrible mashup of whatever.
I love them individually, but yeah, it just didn't together, work for me. Yeah, no. Well, Asabi, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Now, my choice is actually a cover as well. So, interestingly enough, because a lot of girl bands do cover songs, there's another really quite, I call them the Not Quite Girls Aloud of the UK. They're a group called The Saturdays. Only big in the UK, not big anywhere else, basically. Yeah. They had really big songs like Ego and Higher and things like that, but they did a cover of Kelly Rowland's When Love Takes Over. And I love When Love Takes, like, that song was huge when it came
out.
Isn't
that a cover for Kelly?
No,
you're right. Sorry, I'm thinking of Kelly Clarkson. Sorry.
Yes. So Kelly Rowland and David Guetta released that song back in 2009, and The Saturdays covered it. And you know when people just cover, you know when you hear a cover and you go, there's nothing that is even innovative or different about the original, and you haven't sung it on par with the original, let alone you either need to be on par or sing it better when it comes to a good cover.
Otherwise, it's just karaoke.
And you know what? The instrumentation even sounds like a karaoke track to me. So The Saturdays cover of When Love Takes Over is a big flop to me. And I'm really sad that I even have to add it to this playlist, to be quite honest. But that is an amazing, what a great week. I've been so uplifted by this week's episode, talking about something that we all love in equally, which is really, really cool. Can we please say thank you one more time to Zane? Yes, thank finally you, the audience were on cue. Amazing to for joining us this week. Another big shout out to my sister Asabi. Aww. We always love having you here.
And thank you to Josh for running the episode and just always being fabulous.
Oh well, that's yes. I look better than I feel. I'll say that.
It is early morning.
It is early morning, exactly. Well, thank you for joining us. I will see you next week for another amazing episode of Shuffology. Thanks for joining us in the lab, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.